Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If nothing else at Christmas time, the Christian message is a message of comfort. We notice that the words of comfort in Isaiah chapter 40 are from God. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. During Isaiah's time, there was good news and there was bad news. The northern kingdom of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, had been overtaken by the Assyrian Empire, and there was a great cruelty of slavery and death on many, many people in the north. And Assyria threatened Jerusalem and Judah too, where Isaiah lived. God miraculously saved Jerusalem, yet there were weaknesses in those last outposts of the Jews. They were always under a threat from other powers. But Isaiah preached to the people, and he said, God's comfort is for you. God's reign is even where there is weakness. There's always bad news and good news in human societies, isn't there? And that has been not only during our time in the pandemic, but the generations before. The bad news of Pearl Harbor. The good news of victory. The bad news of depression. The better news is people got jobs back and the economy was better. But go back further in generations and generations. Good and bad news. What is different for us today as we hear God's comfort in these words of Isaiah is that we know how God's comfort is accomplished. It is done through Jesus. In Jesus, the warfare of sin and death and the devil is defeated. In Jesus, our iniquity, our sins are pardoned. And in Jesus, the punishment that we deserved was laid on him. In Jesus, our comfort is sure and certain. Paul wrote, "It is the judge who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God." Decorating at Christmas is often a time of judging. Judging lights, tree ornaments, and other decorations. Do these lights still work? Are they worth keeping, or should we throw them out? We have a smaller tree this year. Should we cram all the ornaments on it, or should we leave some off? Which decorations should we put on the walls and in the windows? I saw something really new and beautiful at Menards. Maybe we should get that instead. Don't throw that away. Grandpa gave that to us. And so our decorating thoughts and conversations might go. St. Paul's teaching is quite interesting. He said, "Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart." There is a type of judging that we are to do and a type of judging we are not to do. we are to abide only by God's word. That we must judge. And in fact, in the very next verse, verse 6, that follows this reading, Paul said, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. He said, we should learn not to go against what is written. So we abide by God's word, and we do not judge, though, by human thoughts that are not in God's word. That primary message in Isaiah 40 was really about comfort, not judging, wasn't it? Comfort, comfort, ye my people, says your God. God wants to console more than anything else. We sinful people tend to like to judge one another, and we do this often more than we should. But God, he wants to comfort. And he comforts us with the forgiveness and love through his one and only Son. Do you remember the words of Ephesians 4:32? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Can you sing it?
Be kind to one another, be tender-hearted too, forgiving one another, as God forgives you. These words are very simple, they're also very true. They are found in the Bible, Ephesians 4:32.
She didn't know I was going to do that. This comfort of God is this comfort of forgiveness. And Paul emphasizes we need to share this with one another. And at Advent and Christmas, this is the comfort of God, that in Christ we are his people, we are his forgiven people. Jesus said, truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In human thinking, John was very popular, and he was very famous. They came into the desert to hear him preaching and teaching. And many repented and were baptized by John, many of all sorts of people, rich people, wealthy people, poor people, soldiers. He preached to the soldiers. And even Jesus himself was baptized by John, for as Jesus said, to fulfill all righteousness. But then John fell from his popular point, being free to preach. He preached against the sins of the leading politicians, and he was jailed, and eventually John was killed. While in jail, John sent some of his devoted disciples to check out Jesus, to see if he is the one they should follow. John did not want them to miss the point of his whole work, to follow the one God has sent. If Jesus is the one, follow him. Don't the words of Isaiah 40 exactly point to Jesus? Aren't the words of God's comfort done by Jesus and preached by Jesus? And this is what Jesus directs John's followers to think about. For Jesus said, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus is the deliverer of God's comfort. He is the one the prophets foretold. Jesus taught the people then, and he teaches us today. It is not fame and fortune, it is not the wealth of this world that is worth paying attention to. What was so wonderful about John's ministry was that he pointed to Jesus. And Jesus declared that John was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, the greatest one. And yet, he said, in the kingdom of heaven, no one is greater. No one is least, and no one is greater. In the reign of God, in the kingdom of heaven, there is no least or unimportant person, for even the least is more important than John. The attention of every Christian at Christmas is to focus on Jesus and to, as John, point to Jesus. Here is God's comfort. Here is the meaning. Here is our future. In Jesus, there is no greater and no least, only Jesus.